Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to assess the damage and maybe to hope that the worst is over concerning Hurricane Ian. There's also a very, very strong bit of good news. We have avoided the damage from Hurricane Stupid, which was the threatened governmental shutdown. Believe it or not, there were 25 people in the Senate. That's a fourth who still voted to shut down the federal government. What a terrific idea, especially in the middle of a hurricane. I mean, unbelievable. We will give you that news. There's also terrible and very disturbing news in Europe. I mean, and not only the fact that Putin is going ahead with these referenda and the annexation, formal annexation of parts of the Ukraine. And Zelensky is being very clear. No, this is legally, it is ethically, it is historically part of Ukraine. And what does this mean? Well, it means the war continues. We will talk, though, about the sabotage pipelines, Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2. These were the pipelines that were supposed to bring all kinds of necessary fuel supplies into Europe to help them get through winter, where winter, particularly in northern Europe, can be a pretty difficult thing. Somebody blew up the pipelines. Russia says it was America that blew them up. Anybody think that's true? Most of the world says it was Putin who blew it up. And basically, what happened? What does it mean? We'll be talking with Elizabeth Braw about that, who is an expert on particularly the Baltic region where all of this is occurring. And she is with the American Enterprise Institute, and she'll be joining us soon. We'll also be talking about the latest research on crime. I mean, everybody knows we have this explosion of crime in America. And why is that? Could it have to do with some of the cutbacks on policing? I mean, in Seattle, they tried to, at one point, cut the police department budget by half. Even the city council has now acknowledged that was dumb. That was foolish. And speaking of foolish, there is also a remarkable story about how successful the city of Seattle has been. Now, there's something you normally hear in the same sentence, city of Seattle and successful. But they've been very, very successful in buying old, unused hotels and motels in order to house homeless people. And they have a whole bunch of them, more than 10. And these would house literally hundreds of people. The only problem is they can't figure out how to get the people to move into the hotels. This is almost comedy. It would be comedy if it weren't part of the $114 million the city bragged about spending on homeless services to make the problem better. We will get to that as well on the Michael Medved Show. Okay, first of all, breaking news. And I love the idea of being able to lead with some breaking news that's actually positive. It happens every once in a while. Even under the Biden administration, Biden had nothing to do with it, really. The Senate approved legislation to keep the federal government operating until mid-December, as well as to fund emergency new aid for Ukraine. Thank goodness. The legislation, which was passed 72-25, would prevent a partial government shutdown after the current fiscal year expires. When? This Friday night. Yeah, it's happening right now. This legislation avoids a very bad thing, shutting down the government, and does a lot of good things. Money for the people of Ukraine, funding for communities reeling from natural disasters, aid to families with their heating bills, just to name a few, said Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor. The bill now must be passed in the House before heading to President Biden's desk, where he is expected to sign it. of course. Without passage of the bill, a partial government shutdown would occur. A shutdown would trigger furloughs for hundreds of thousands of federal workers. But critical functions such as border security, such as it is, benefits payments, and airport operations would continue. House Democrats said today, this morning, they don't anticipate any hiccups in passing it through their chamber. Anybody who's upset about them passing a continued government funding bill, and one that, by the way, is crucial in the direction of the war in Ukraine, where American interests are so clearly and so profoundly on the line. I mean, this is incredible, all of it. Governor DeSantis, I mentioned yesterday that, look, he clearly, he may not be running for president yet, but he's certainly flirting with the idea. And it's more than flirting. I think he's even asked the idea of a presidential race to the prom. Maybe not quite going steady yet, but okay. Governor DeSantis has a chance in the midst of all this horror with Hurricane Ian in Florida. Unconfirmed reports of over 100 fatalities. DeSantis has been very front and center in handling this, and that's good. That's an indication of that energy in the executive. That's Alexander Hamilton's phrase. He wrote about that in Federalist. And the point about energy in the executive is that the one thing you cannot take away from DeSantis, no matter how you feel about him in terms of policy or personality or anything, guy's an energetic governor. He's not somebody who blends into the wallpaper. He's somebody who stands out and stands up. And this is Governor DeSantis reporting on the reports of fatalities in Lee County, Florida, 21.
We have had two unconfirmed fatalities in the sense that we don't know that they're linked to the storm. I mean, our assumption is it likely is. And so basically FDLE will make that assessment, and then that will be reported. But that's what would we have. That number that was put out by Lee is basically an estimate of, hey, these people were calling, the water was rising on their home, they may not have ended up getting through.
Okay, and then he said he spoke to President Biden this morning. And again, it goes very much to the credit of Ron DeSantis that he's highlighting the fact that at a time of emergency, politics is put aside. You cooperate with the President of the United States, even when he's a potential opponent. Listen. Tony.
We have received a major disaster declaration for 9 counties, but we do expect more. I just spoke with the president this morning. He offered support. I told him the thanks for this, but because the storm has moved inland and caused a lot of potential damage in the center part of our state, that we are going to be asking for those counties to be expanded and included there. But for now, we have approval for Charlotte, Collier, DeSoto, Hardy, Hillsboro, Lee, Manatee, Pinellas, and Sarasota. That will allow individual Floridians to seek individual assistance from FEMA.
Okay, this is all an indication of things operating in an appropriate manner. And also the vote in the Senate, the overwhelming vote in the Senate to prevent the government from shutting down is another indication that we are moving forward. We will come back with more on the very latest on the hurricane news and the very latest on why it is, and maybe you have some theory, why it is that it's very, very easy for the city of Seattle to buy buildings, particularly old and unused hotels, and for King County to buy those buildings. What's so very difficult is to get some of the homeless people who are sleeping on the street or camped out in parks to actually move in to free apartments. Honest to goodness, yeah, this is not exactly a field of dreams. No, you can't just say, we will build it, we'll buy it, and then they'll come. It doesn't work that way. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
President Biden visited FEMA today, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, and he gave a speech about the devastating hurricane in Florida. The real test with the hurricane, and everyone is pointing this out, and it's appropriate, is not simply surviving the storm itself, but cleaning up the mess. I saw images of Ivor City, which is part of the city of Tampa that I'm familiar with, And it's a sort of the historic Cuban cigar-making parts of Tampa. And it's been quite a tourist attraction. And, man, it's there's very real devastation here. And, again, and they're not done. This is President Biden speaking when asked about his relationship with Ron DeSantis, a potential opponent for president, and the governor of Florida. Here's what the president of the United States had to say. This is clip 17.
How would you describe your relationship and your conversation with Governor DeSantis?
It's totally irrelevant, but I'll answer it, okay? In fact, very fine. He complimented me. He thanked me for the immediate response we had. He told me how much he appreciated it, said he was extremely happy with what was going on. This is not about whether or anything having to do with our disagreements politically. This is about saving people's lives, homes, and businesses. That's what this is about. And so I've talked to him four or five times already. And it's not a matter of my disagreements with him on other items.
Crisis and pain and difficulty. Crisis and pain and difficulty. There's a reporter named Jim Cantor who works for the Weather Channel. And he was in Punta Gorda, Florida, as winds hit at least 110 miles per hour. And he had a little bit of dramatic. You can even hear it without even having to see it. Just you can imagine the visual impact as well. The reporter for the Weather Channel having a serious problem with 110 mile an hour winds and tree branches. Clip 16.
Yeah, this is extreme, bro. This is really hammering. I just got knocked on my butt. You can hardly see, Venice. You can hardly see anything out here. A couple pieces of debris look like some housing, styrofoam and things like that that are like underneath the roofing, maybe in the roof. It just came flying by. All right, you know what? I think I'm just going to come in here for a second.
Yeah, it's not something you want to stay and see. Meanwhile, talking about not something you want to stay and see, King County, that's the county that Seattle is in, and Bellevue, which is the fifth largest city in the state, is also in King County. King County continues to buy hotels and apartment buildings. Why? Trying to meet a self-imposed goal of housing 1,006 of its 10 properties remain vacant. In other words, the city and the county, the King County, has purchased 10 properties, and five of them are sitting there empty. Just months away from the new year, the five-unit apartment building in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. It's taken months and sometimes more than to open the properties the county already owns. As of September 1st, 357 people of the 1,600 that to stick into these properties they've been purchasing. They have 357 who were living in four of the 10 health through housing buildings purchased already by King County. An additional 118 people are living in two apartment buildings in Seattle whose operations are funded by the county but are owned by the city. That totals 475. A fifth building is being used to house refugees. Refugees from where? From what? Some of these investments, such as the Capitol Hill building, are also intended to further equity to further county equity goals. If purchased, the apartments will house people who are queer, transgender, black, native, and other people of color. The sale is expected to be completed by early October. Is part of the problem here that they only want to welcome homeless people into these buildings if they are, quote, people who are under marginal status, who are queer, transgender, or native? That's within our initiative to annually reduce racial disproportionality within chronic homeless communities, said Mario William Sweet, a major initiative manager of King County. I see. So to reduce the inequities, what they need is some more good old-fashioned white homeless people out there. And meanwhile, sticking some of the queer and transgender people who obviously are an underserved homeless sub-community, are they? I mean, this is madness. This is madness. And they go on. In October 2020, the county approved a 0.1% sales tax to take advantage of a hurting market, and to buy vacant hotels as well as new apartment buildings. Well, that was a great idea. Now, the problem is they can't get people to move in. And that is an extraordinary problem. The reason they can't move in or won't move in is because they don't have enough people to hire to provide the services they're promising as part of these apartment buildings. In other words, you've heard all the slogans that people say, the problem with homelessness, the only thing to do is provide more housing. But they can't get people to move in unless you provide services along with the housing. So far, the acquisition part of the plan has worked. But moving people in has been much harder. At the beginning of the year, 180 people were living in two buildings. At the time, county officials pointed to shortages in the homelessness workforce for the delays. Not much has changed since the beginning of the year. We're approaching the end of the year. It's so sad and pathetic. And so have been attempts to denude police forces and to undermine crime enforcement. A disaster. We'll talk about it and how to overcome it. Coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Voting results from some Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine are showing majorities of the population there in favor of becoming part of Russia. That's according to the Kremlin. These so-called referendums have been denounced by Kiev and the West. Here's what White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said on Wednesday.
We are prepared to impose swift and severe economic costs on Russia when they move forward with annexation on individual and entities inside and outside of Russia that provide support for this action.
Officials are assessing the damage from Hurricane Ian, which came onshore near Fort Myers, Florida. Neighborhoods up and down the west coast are flooded, and search and rescue teams are out trying to rescue those who were trapped in their homes. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell said that standing floodwater is not safe.
Water is dangerous. Even though the storm has passed, the water that's there is still dangerous. There's debris, there's chemicals, there could be down power lines. People need to be careful. They need to stay vigilant.
This is USA Radio News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Bit of blues in the air. Why? Well, one thing to be blue about this wonderful country is not only some of the economic difficulties, but the rise in crime. And the rise in crime in the last couple of years has been dramatic. It's been appalling. It's been tragic. It's been alarming. And one of the scholars who recognizes that has actually written an important new book on the subject. The book is called Criminal Injustice: What the Push for Decarceration and De-Policing Gets Wrong and Who It Hurts Most. The author is Rafael Manguel, who is a senior fellow at Manhattan Institute, and he writes, and this is his first book, about what's been going so wrong with the United States, even during earlier periods of prosperity, before the current turn down and the lockdown and all the other difficulties. It is simply a fiction, isn't it, Rafael, that the main cause of crime is economic hardship?
That's exactly right. In fact, it's more likely to be the case that the truth reflects the very opposite, which is that crime actually is the first order problem that creates economic difficulties and minimizes one's ability to move upward on the socioeconomic ladder. I mean, you know, one of the more frustrating things about the crime debate is the extent to which this myth has persisted, this idea that socioeconomic root causes are what drive the sort of violence that many communities across the country are currently struggling with, and that just couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, for one thing, the data just don't support it. I mean, they're very simple measures that we could look at, one of them being the fact that the vast majority of people in poverty do not commit crime. They go on to lead very lawful lives. The other thing that we should be looking at is whether there's a tight correlation between a lot of the socioeconomic measures that people point to and violence, and there just isn't. If you look at New York City in 1989, which is the year before homicides peaked at 2,262, the city's poverty rate was actually slightly lower than it was in 2016, which is the year before we hit our valley for homicides, with just 292. So we're able to reduce homicides by more than 90% over a period in time in which the poverty rate remains essentially unchanged and, in fact, moves slightly in the wrong direction. We see the same phenomenon with figures like unemployment rates or income inequality. Income inequality grew an enormous amount in this country between 1980 and 2020, and yet violent crime continued to move down and didn't start to go up until 2020. We don't see violent crime track neatly with recessions or depressions. Crime went down during the Great Depression and went up during the 1920s, the period of economic prosperity. There's a lot of mismatch between and among groups who experience poverty and go on to commit violent crime. For example, in New York, Latino New Yorkers and Asian New Yorkers experience poverty at a significantly higher rate than Black New Yorkers, and yet Black New Yorkers commit violence at a much higher rate than both of those groups. And so all of those incongruities, should lead us to the conclusion that what we should be focusing on if we want to reduce crime are the tried and true proven tactics that have led to crime declines in the past, and that is a law enforcement first effort that prioritizes the arrest of criminal offenders, their prosecution, and their conviction, and when appropriate, their incapacitation through incarceration. And that's something that I think is, probably the major failure. If you just look at the heinous crimes that occur in any city in this country, you're going to consistently find perpetrators who have lengthy criminal histories, active criminal justice statuses. In other words, people who could have been and should have been but were not incarcerated at the time.
Boy, is that... I was reading this morning about the case of a perpetrator in New York City. Actually, it was in Yonkers, New York. The perpetrator was 42 years old. His name was Tomel Esko. And he attacked an Asian woman. She was Filipina. And there's video, because there was surveillance video, and you can see the whole thing, totally without provocation. He thought she was responsible for the pandemic and didn't know her, and punched her more than 100 times. And then after she was knocked down, he stamped on her face and the rest of her body with his boots. In any event, it's a severe attack. He was just sentenced, he pleaded guilty because they have the tape. He was sentenced to 17 years. And the question I would ask, the guy's 42 years old. Why are they ever letting him out? What sense does this make?
Yeah, there's this, people really lean on a particular data point, which shows that the risk of recidivism goes down significantly with age, which is true, generally speaking. The thing that we have to keep in mind is that risk does not zero out. So if you look at the recidivism studies for the United States, the Bureau of Justice Statistics has done longitudinal analyses that, follow offenders for periods of 10 years. What you'll find is that every single age group will recidivate at a rate of higher than 50%, even up through 40 and over. The only group that recidivates at a rate lower than 50% are offenders that are released who are 65 and over. And even those offenders reoffend at a rate of 40%, which is nowhere near close to zero. So there's this idea that we can minimize our risk if we wait to release people when they're later into their stages of life. But what that ignores is that there is a population of offenders that is what we call life course persistent in their offending patterns. These are psychopaths, people who are highly antisocial in their dispositions and are essentially incorrigible. And that's a reality that we need to grapple with in our public discourse. There was another case that comes to mind on this front, a case of a person named Marceline Harvey, who was paroled from prison in, I believe it was 2019, after serving a significant amount of time for murdering a woman in the 1980s, which occurred after this person was paroled after spending a significant amount of time in prison after murdering a separate woman in the 1960s. And, of course, recently that person has now been charged with an additional murder of yet another woman committed at the age of 83. So I think you're asking the right question, which is, to what degree are we lacking the will to completely incapacitate people who have thoroughly distributed through their, illustrated through their conduct, that they have no intention of playing by society's rules.
We're speaking with Rafael Mangual, who is the author of the very important new book. The book is called Criminal Injustice, What the Push for Decarceration and Depolicing Gets Wrong and Who It Hurts Most. Can you hang on with us for a little bit while longer, Rafael?
Absolutely.
Terrific. I want to ask you about the connection as both cause and effect of criminality and the huge surge in criminality and violent crime and homelessness. The standard line appears to be that homeless people basically are just like you and me. They are people who may be down on their luck temporarily. And if you believe in the broken windows effect, and I know from looking at your book that you do, then obviously the notion that a broken window or graffiti or a deterioration of a neighborhood contributes to the notion of lawlessness, to the idea that all order has broken down and nobody can enforce anything, then surely the idea of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, if you're in Los Angeles or San Francisco, or maybe in Seattle, the tens of thousands of people living on the street contribute to that. And the question also that I want to pursue with Rafael Mangual is, what do we do about it? And that we know what to do about it. We know it worked before. Why can't those techniques be reimposed to bring down the surge in crime and to make our streets and neighborhoods and cities much safer? We will be right back. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it, and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a Medhead Plus member as soon as you can.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Michael Medved Show, if you talk to people who are trying to run businesses in our urban cores around the country, downtown businesses, the kind of business that makes one want to come downtown and actually enjoy a vital city, those businesses are tremendously impacted by the rise in crime. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today about the crime of stealing from liquor stores downtown, which basically the state of Oregon has been allowing. But aside from the criminality, the other thing you'll hear from people who are trying to make our urban cores viable is the presence of literally thousands of people sleeping on the streets and setting up encampments and basically taking over some of our most important urban areas. How does that fit together with the crime issue? The crime issue is what is endorsed, what is addressed by Rafael Mangual, who is a head of research on policing and public safety for the Manhattan Institute. And the Manhattan Institute was one of the first places to popularize the idea of the broken windows effect. How do you link together these associated problems, and I believe they are associated, of criminality and homelessness? Rafael?
Well, I think it's important to understand what broken windows theory actually posits. It's really a theory that recognizes how we psychologically process public disorder. When pro-social individuals are witnessing things like homeless encampments, open-air drug use, open-air drug markets, public urination, public defecation. When they witness that in public spaces, it communicates to them a few things. One, it communicates that the individual engaging in the antisocial behavior feels confident in doing so. And the way that that is processed by most people is to say, well, if that person feels confident in doing this in this space, then no one is really in charge. And if no one is in charge, then anything goes. And if anything goes, then I am vulnerable. And what that does over time is it leads pro-social people to avoid those public spaces, which in turn makes those public spaces increasingly vulnerable to more serious kinds of disorder and eventually crime, including violent crime. The thing to understand also about the homelessness problem is that it's not really a homelessness problem, which is to say that it's not one that lends itself to a housing first solution. You know, the idea that you can just give these individuals an apartment and that their lives will suddenly be okay is, I think, deeply misguided insofar as it ignores the significant overlap between homelessness and serious mental illness, as well as serious drug addiction. And those problems do lead and are linked with violent crime. And, you know, lots of people will tell you that, you know, a homeless individual is much more likely to be a violent crime victim than they are a perpetrator, and that's true. But that doesn't mean that they don't pose a risk of offending that is higher than that of the sort of typical person on the street. And if you're dealing with someone who is trying to sustain a serious drug habit that doesn't have a reliable source of income, because many people, you know, who are in that point in their lives don't, then that means that you will start to see crimes being committed just to finance the habit. And, of course, this is something that we've seen here in New York, and I imagine in other cities, some significant subset of the homeless population is also suffering from serious mental illness that, if left untreated, you know, increases the risk that these individuals will be involved in violent altercations with other people, whether that's pushing someone onto the tracks in front of an oncoming subway train, or randomly attacking, an innocent bystander. This is something that we do see, and so I do think there is a link. Now, I don't think this is the main driver of the violence numbers that we've seen go up in cities like Portland and Los Angeles and New York. But it's certainly a problem that's worth dealing with, especially because if you allow public disorder to fester, it really does push people out of those communities, and those people are more likely going to be those who would otherwise spend money at the businesses in those areas that make up a significant portion of the tax base. And as you erode that population, so too do you erode the economic future of that jurisdiction.
Okay, in the brief time left to us, how do we turn this around? In other words, you alluded before to the tremendous, the historic improvement in public safety that really began in New York City with Bill Bratton and yes, Rudy Giuliani, whatever you think of Rudy recently. But it changed the city, and it ended up changing America for the better. How do we repeat that kind of success?
I think what we need to do is, one, recognize that we have a very serious recruitment and retention crisis going on in our police departments across the country. And so solving that problem by making the profession more attractive is going to require significant investment. Once we make that investment, we have to make sure that those policing efforts are informed by data, and that they're backed by the rest of the criminal justice system, which is, I think, the biggest problem facing communities today. Police officers are making arrests, but either prosecutors are choosing not to pursue serious charges, or judges are not willing to hand down significant sentences, which means that these individuals are finding their way back out onto the street much sooner than they otherwise should, and then we lose out on those incapacitation benefits. What happened in the 1990s was that all of the institutions that make up our criminal justice system were on the same page. They were all committed to the same mission. That is no longer the case in far too many cities across this country, and so that's the problem that really needs to be addressed. When individuals have repeat contact with the criminal justice system, long rap sheets, the system has to have the wherewithal to take them off the street for a significant period of time.
The title of your book, Criminal Injustice, What the Push for Decarceration and Depolicing Gets Wrong, you're just talking about what it gets wrong. And then you add, and who it hurts most. It hurts most communities of color, communities with economic challenges. Isn't it the least of these, to use that phrase, who are the main victims of the crime surge?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If you look at crime in the United States, it's very, very hyper-concentrated, both geographically and demographically. In any city in the United States, somewhere between 4 and 5% of street segments, we'll see about 50% of all violent crime. And that violent crime is going to be concentrated disproportionately in low-income minority communities. If you look at my home city of New York, for every single year that we have data, a minimum of 95% of all shooting victims every single year are either Black or Hispanic. Almost all of them are male. And I can guarantee you that Black and Hispanic males don't constitute anywhere near 95% of New York City's population.
No, and again, is it not possible that with this high level of victimization, this can actually be a unifying factor across racial divides, no?
One would hope, and that's certainly reflected in the polling data. The question is whether or not this issue is enough of a motivator to get people out to vote and to vote in ways that, you know, reflect their policy priorities. That remains to be seen. I mean, we saw the recall election of Chesa Boudin out in San Francisco, which many found to be an encouraging sign. But, you know, we also saw a similar progressive prosecutor like Larry Krasner fail to reelection. The same for Kim Fox in Chicago. Krasner was in Philadelphia, of course. Now, both of those races were determined in Democratic primaries with very, very low turnouts. And, you know, that is going to be the question moving forward, whether a significant portion of the electorate comes out and prioritizes this issue.
And I think one of the ways that people can help prioritize the issue and to get a more accurate, more scientific perspective on our crime problems is to take a look at Rafael Manguel's book. It is called Criminal Injustice, What the Push for Decarceration and Depolicing Gets Wrong, and Who It Hurts Most. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Are you working on a follow-up book yet?
Not yet, but I am actually right in the middle of writing a book chapter. So it's going to be a contribution to a compendium that's looking at New York's downturn with respect to crime and what's at the root of that. So looking forward to sharing that with everyone once it's out.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for your important work. Let me also mention that today, this afternoon, and people have been very kind about some of the comments we've gotten on this. My wife is doing one of her marriage webinars. It's at 3:30 this afternoon, Pacific time. The topic, Marriage Under Attack, Kids as the Target. It's available tonight, this afternoon at 3:30 Pacific time, 6:30 Eastern time. Go to barryshore.com/marriage. And get some important perspective from Dr. Diane Medved, my favorite person in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.